Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
This is so exciting because if you look at what is and you realize that's what produced what is, then sometimes you can feel hopeless.
Right.
But if you begin to see what God's doing, because God is shifting things.
Yeah.
You know, I think about Jim Rutz's book, Mega Shift. You know, and that was a prophetic book because it's like, ain't nothing shifting right now. They're building more ziggurats, you know, anyway. So the shifting taking place and just the power of God and things are going in. And talk to us, man, about the shift, because he has some great insight about, you know, what we've been preparing for this, and others have as well, because, you know, the greatest days for the church, you know, is ahead. Now, I'm not talking about your nonprofit 501c3 stucco brick building thing. I'm talking about the body.
The body, people.
Yeah, talk to us, man.
Well, John Burton wrote this article that's in Charisma News, and it's just really just amazing. He talks about the five coming, emerging aspects of the church that's coming in its future. And he wrote a book, actually several books, but one of the books is 20 Elements to Revival. We'll make that related for you. But this is one of the things that he says, that the current church paradigm is so prevalent and saturating in our culture that people just can't seem to wrap their minds around the shift that is coming. He said it seems nonsensical, threatening, or just plain bizarre. They wonder how their ministry's dream or focus or gift fits in that structure. The reality is that it may not, or it may be radically redefined. And so he's saying that this is coming. We're going to be able, and one of the things is that, you know, the disciples thought that Jesus was going to do one thing, but what Jesus did was completely different to what they thought was going to be established.
He walked down the street of what was.
Yeah.
When he's trying to tell them, this is, I don't know, I created everything, I'm holding everything together.
It's a different kingdom. It's a different kingdom.
It couldn't be Jesus because he's walking down the dirt road.
Yeah.
It has come on in the building. You got to be, there's a book, was that a book that was written, Jesus Left the Building or something of that nature?
Yes.
But really, the building of God is not stucco. It's not brick. It's not that. You're the building of God. As a Christian, you are the God's building a spiritual house.
Living stones.
Living stones being built together as a spiritual house. So what is he talking about? Some of the
things. He says, trust me, some of the changes are going to shock our nation.
No.
Yes. And he says, those who hold on to structure or ministry instead of Jesus himself, I will not be willing to go where God is leading. So,
but can you imagine being delivered of structure?
Yes. Yes.
There's no building program. I mean, what's going on here? I mean, how many people are in therapy after having to do a building program? It's like, we need it in the last little bit.
Yeah.
We're spending $1.3 million per baptized believer in America.
Yeah.
According to George Barna, per baptized believer on all that stuff.
Yeah. It's interesting. They don't export that same thing over to missions. We don't do that.
You think it would work? You think about right now in Nepal and the struggle they're going through with the earthquake. If we could just take, you know, just a couple baptized believers, you know, that's going to be, what, $3-4 million, and just send that over easily. It's just amazing what we're doing. So it's actually a good thing if we restructure how we are investing what is God's.
Yes.
Because he wants a return. I mean,
he
says very specifically.
He expects a return.
He says, I'll give you this, but I expect more.
He expects a return.
And the one who actually did not do more of what he expected, wasn't good results.
No, it wasn't. Well, here's one of the first things that he says that's coming. He says, services will be more like prayer meetings or gatherings. He says, one of the greatest indictments of the church today is that prayer is not the driving force. Today, people tend to choose churches based on their appeal of the teaching and the worship instead of the fervency of prayer.
They don't talk about, like, what time do we pray?
No. who's leading worship, you know, and who's teaching and what are they teaching?
But prayer's talking to God. Church is about God, and Jesus is the head of the church.
No,
and
doesn't seem
he has
the
church
driving
to have a
relationship. Force.
But prayer's talking to God.
Yes.
How can talking to God not be the driving force?
But it will be. That's what he's saying. It will be. He says it's
probably something's going to motivate us to talk to God.
Yeah.
Something like Saul knocking on the outside of our door after stoning Stephen.
That or a couple of knives waving in the air.
You won't need an alert popping up on your iPhone.
No,
to pray.
No reminder.
Like, no reminder.
I guess that's what he meant. Pray continually. Yeah.
Right.
He says, if the church was a house of teaching or a house of worship, that would make sense, but it's not. The church is a house of prayer of all nations. And he says this. This is so, I think it's awesome. He says, every person in the church will function as a burning intercessor, and the services will be marked by a unified groan of fiery prayer. And when I read that, I was thinking about the Welsh Revival, because that was one of the amazing things about the Welsh Revival. Robert Evans was used mightily by God, and it was that people would come for hours just to pray, just to go after God, just to talk with the Lord, no agenda. And they were perfectly content with just being in his presence and seeking him. And so that's going to be the unifying mark. It's going to be about coming to the house of prayer.
And prayer is talking to God versus like some religious act, you know, just babbling along. He says, like the pagans do. So, I mean, you almost have to redefine what prayer is when we're talking about it, because people are like, we're just going to babble along with, whatever the prayer is that you may be repeating over again. How many times do you say, our Father who art in heaven, you know, that thing? Some people, that's all they say.
Yeah.
Versus like, how are you doing? You know, God is into you, by the way. God is into you. That's important to understand that. He's into what you do. He wants you to be into him. Mm-hmm. And that's that conversation that we have. When you find out you're not squeezing him in and trying to do the rest of your stuff that you're only into, then you don't see praying continually, but you understand he wants you to succeed in your relationships. He wants you to succeed in your business. He wants you to succeed as a father, as a mother, as a leader, as a government person, but he wants you to do it with him in the context of that.
With him, and not just a prayer for ourselves. Intercessory prayer, you know, is about God laying his burden on our heart so that we can actually pray upon the earth, pray his will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
And so we're actually standing in the gap for others. The other thing he says is that personal need will give way to personal mission. And he says, today churches are often more like organic, socially driven hospitals. People tend to use the church as a way to meet their personal needs instead of serving it as a minister of God.
Is there daycare here?
Yeah. Y'all have a gym?
Do you speak longer than 16 and a half minutes?
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Yes.
That's right.
This, sad but true.
This chair is not padded enough. Oh, this pew, this chair.
No.
Or we're like really happening here. We don't wear ties.
No.
Right?
No
ties.
No. Ties. Spiky hair and everything.
Spiky hair.
How's worship?
All right. How's your hair?
Yeah.
Stay focused. This is important.
Right. This is going to change. Of course, there will still be personal ministry he addresses, but this is really cool. Instead of the church functioning as a hospital, it will once again function as a mission-driven military. The mission will take precedence. The saints will be equipped for service, not for personal survival.
Oh, my goodness. I remember somebody looking at Pat and I years ago, and they said, listen, we understand. If we stay here, you know, and church I was pastoring, if we stay here, we know we have to do something. Yeah. We just want to go somewhere where you don't have to do nothing.
Mm.
It's like that was the conversation.
That was the conversation, yeah.
They're totally away from the Lord, totally back. Just all these things have happened, terrible things have happened. But it's like there's no such thing as just sitting there.
Yeah.
Is that we're actually called. I think about William Booth when you say that, the founder of
Salvation Army.
I'm thinking, can you imagine what it's going to be like when, you know, we are actually being kind to folks and giving things to people, meeting the homeless need or meeting the hunger need, or, you know, loving on folks, helping leaders by praying for them, and just being a light and a hope. I mean, when if you think about this, you know, that, you know, when Bill Gates went to go invest his billions of dollars into something, you know, measurably that he could make a difference, the church never did come to his mind.
Wow.
If you think about that.
Yeah.
He wanted to make a difference. He wanted to cure a disease. He wanted to be able to educate people. He wanted to do whatever, right? It's like, we should have been the first thing. We should have been the first thing.
Yeah.
We should have been the first thing.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, are we doing any of that? Yeah. I mean, you think about Catholic social services. You think about some other things like that. But we should be so relevant into meeting the needs, like like Mother Teresa that people just think about. Listen, if we want to have, and this is what business leaders are into, they're into measurability. Mm. If I want to change lives, you know, Mother Teresa is doing this huge work, that's where my investment would go.
Yeah. And it's measured. I can say that by giving this certain amount, I'm going to have this type of return. They want to see.
Sounds like impact. Jesus when he's talking about he wanted a return, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's exciting to hear that.
He says the saints will be equipped for service, not for personal survival. In this ancient and emerging model, there will be MASH units that will take very good care of the wounded with the primary purpose of getting the soldier back into battle.
Train and launch. Train and launch. Put a bandage on. We got
to go back.
Healing in Jesus' name so you can go to work in Jesus' name. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you're not a victim, but come on, let's go help somebody else.
Oh, that sounds like the Moravians, right?
Yes.
They would launch out a missionary to the mission field, and he wasn't a star. She wasn't a star.
No.
You know, because today they make stars.
It's normal.
Like, you know, I go down to Tijuana, Mexico, and I go through the streets, and I hand out flyers in between while I'm having tacos.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's like this whole big thing.
My next mission trip is Hawaii.
Right,
they need the gospel.
And so I need you to give now, give now, versus all of us are supposed to be doing that our entire life.
Yes.
And so the Moravians, if somebody died, and they did, when they would send someone to the mission field, they just had somebody in line to replace that one.
Yeah.
By the way, when we, as a Christian, get this, when we die, and it's appointed for once for everyone to die, when we die, guess what we do? Instantly, our spirit goes to be with the Lord. Instantly, to be absent from this body is to be present with God. We win!
Yes.
No matter how that end comes about.
Yes.
If Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, the thing about it is, what are we going to do for him now? And to hear it's missional and that the church is going in that direction, that we're going to do something? That's exciting.
Well, listen to this. He says, apostles will again lead with governmental authority, and pastors will be seen as the main leader less and less, as they focus more on shepherding and less on primary leadership.
And that's one of the difficult things. It's sort of like, you know, a very important part of the body, but not necessarily the governmental part of the body is leading. It's like in America, everybody's a pastor.
Yeah.
It's a pastor. I mean, you just got to just go with it.
There's
you know?
No fivefold.
Go
just
with
pastor.
It. Everybody's a pastor. Nobody means it's an insult. But the reality is Jesus gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors, teachers, and evangelists. This is exciting.
Yes,
it really is exciting. What's the next thing he's talking about?
Number three, he says, teaching will be minimalized while instruction is emphasized. Teaching is mostly...
Don't you understand this, all that happens today?
Oh,
there's 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers.
Yes.
How's that going to work? What are you going to say? I mean, somebody like, what are you going to say if you can't teach something?
Give instruction.
Like T.D. Jakes, he's like, put that top down, go back home and do what's right, right?
Yeah, I know that's
right. Oh, my goodness.
He says, teaching is mostly for personal edification, while instruction is mostly for corporate assignments.
Right,
Today, most churches focus on teaching principles of Scripture, providing truths that will help believers navigate through their lives and giving them nuggets for biblical information. While there still will be important teaching, apostolic instruction will emerge
as
a new ministry.
Can you imagine the church there without constant teaching?
I think we have a couple books already and a couple CDs and a...
Right. I don't care if anybody, I don't care. I just want to teach something.
Yeah.
Teach me one more time of something I'm not going to do. I mean, you would think, but the thing is like, we got to figure out how to get on the boat because we're supposed to go appear before governors because God wants us to prophesy to kings. Versus like, no, show back up because I'm going to teach one more thing again. This is the part 17 of the 12th series of the 10th of the, you know, the.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Of course I know.
Okay.
Of course I know what you're talking about.
I mean, I think teaching is great.
Yes.
I think it's great.
Yes.
I got good friends. It's important. But you think about it. How much? What I think about is Ian Skelly. Skelly with WHBR, with Christian Television Network. And he talks about it. He's been in Christian Television for 20 years. He's an old man.
Yes, he is. Doesn't look old.
Yeah. And he talks about, what are we doing? Yeah. And he's been part of and seeing content for so many years.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have to become, it's not that we have to be relevant to reach irrelevant people. Father expects us to be relevant. We're supposed to do something here.
Yes.
I mean, oh my goodness, this is exciting. Yeah.
He says, what is lacking, however, is apostolic leaders, military commanders who will give instruction and assignments to ready an army. Teaching is for personal growth based, while instruction is to a call to corporate action for the sake of the mission fulfillment.
Mm.
awesome. He says an example of an apostolic instruction is that an apostolic leader will give a corporate assignment for everyone in the church to fast for a week and then show up together for a prayer walk through the city streets. It's not just a club. It's not just a personal.
Imagine if two gatherings were doing that in a city.
Just two.
Yeah, Jesus had 12, and one of them was in agreement all the time.
Yeah.
You think about that.
Yeah, it's huge.
That's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
But don't you understand that if I go outside of this building, that there's lions, tigers, and
they
bears.
They might ask me a question.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'll have to bring, you remember the lawyer that we were working with, and that, you know, he said he loved the Lord, and we said, this is what you want you to do. We want you to go back to your office.
Yes.
And we want you to wear God on your
armband.
And it said G-O-D, which was God, but it stood for gratitude, obedience, and dependency, but it just spelled out God.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt like the entire boardroom, the entire people, everybody was just staring at him. But you know what? When he put God on the outside, it shifted his life.
Yeah.
He gave up the legal business and ended up in the fathering business. And now he's actually at a place, him and his wife are fathering fatherless children.
Beautiful.
In the wilderness. When you put God on the outside and begin to make these moves, it just changes everything.
Yeah.
And by the way, your life is more fulfilled. You know, that's why, you know, walking with God is meant to be an exciting journey and not a religious experience, you know.
One day a week, right?
One day a week.
Number four, we will gather together most days of the week. 24/7 church will again emerge as the church drives culture instead of reacting to culture.
Wait, you said 24/7 church.
24/7.
We're gonna like sit on pews for 24/7?
No. We live in the context of life and we share life with each other. So we're
it's sort of like Jesus
together.
And the disciples.
Yeah.
Anymore.
We're eating together. We're praying together. We're living life together. We're in each other's homes.
It's like family.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so.
And how many people are there? This is what they say. They say people are so desperately wanting to be a part of a tribe, part of a family, that they're even going to join ISIL because they see people banding together and functioning. And although it's dysfunctional and demonic what they're doing, but the fact is that why aren't we as the church being family? Why aren't we fathering and mothering and that aspect of it? We're going to be there. It's like we're going to go back to the original tent. Wow.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Cares of life will lose their power as we simplify our lives and put corporate prayer and mission ahead of most everything else. How
Where are we
that?
Going for the Lord?
Yeah, what are we doing for God?
Right.
Not
I.
Come bless me, need me,
right.
Minister to me.
Right.
Teach me.
Right.
Tell me again what I need
Give
to
Give me
know.
Therapy.
Pray for me one more time.
Yeah,
one more time.
Right.
Put your hands here.
Yes.
And I'll be back tomorrow if you do it again.
Right.
But this is very, very exciting. And he goes on to say that number five, that worship will be supernaturally driven.
Spiritual songs of worship?
Listen to this.
Oh, it sounds scriptural.
This is a new sound coming to worship, and it's not simply a new style. There is a supernatural, otherworldly groan of intercessory worship that will explode out of the entire body as a new breed of trembling worship leaders lead the way into the shock and awe of the glory of God.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. Shock and awe.
Of the glory
of God.
With trembling.
Oh, man.
With fear and trembling, we're entering the presence and the glory of God in supernatural worship that's just coming from the just spirit to spirit.
And the thing about the glory of God, and we'll make this related to you, but you know, God gave Pat this prophetic dream and showed what happened when this sound gets released.
Yes.
And you think about the glory of God, imagine every good feeling that you possibly could have, and it's so good that you can't, you know, this is what the disciple said. These men aren't drunk as you suppose, but their bodies were reacting to the glory and the presence of God. When God's presence and his power and the thickness of his glory and the heaviness, he's awesome.
Mm.
And you were designed for it. And it's almost like your joints and your body and your muscles turn to mush or rubber. And, you know, it's like, but it's like the most wonderful thing. It's like, oh, my goodness, that's exciting. So worship will be like that.
Yes, he says, we will no longer simply sit in a pew or stand with a raised hand while a familiar song is sung. He said the prophetic groaning sounds of the Holy Spirit will facilitate worship, will make it normal to shake and fall to our faces as we cry holy.
Shoo.
The natural, logical sing-alongs will be no more. and we will have a hard time standing
first
in God's glory.
And third stand in them.
Yeah.
We want to pray right now. Father God, we just ask you for this. For our audience that's listening and watching right now, Father God, that you would just encourage them. We ask that you would release dreams and visions, God, and begin to share with them your desire for what you want in your church, Father God. We say, let it be, God.
Yes,
let it be. Let the family come and arrive and arise, Lord, this day, Father God, to be the family that you've called us to be. Father God, help us to see you as the Father that you are. And to heal us from wrong perceptions of fatherhood and all the attacks against fathering, because you are awesome and you are loving and you are kind and you are merciful and you got good plans in store for us because you gave your son so that we could be in relationship with you. And I just pray for each and every one right now that you want to be a part of this and you haven't made a decision yet. In this moment, you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you know, cry out for him. Say, I want to be a part of this, God. I want to be a part of this. Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Find out about our stories at meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. We shared our stories, how you too can meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. Great expectancy. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.